Sisters. You are listening to Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm in Pasadena, California this morning. It is Tuesday, September 13th. I'm here with my sister, Julie Dolan, in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Julie, good to be with you today.
Leanne, happy to be back with you. This is fun.
Yeah. Well, when you hear the roundup of stories we have, I think it'll be fairly obvious Liz isn't on the show.
We got some good segues today, Liam.
Yeah, we're bringing it. And we have breaking news, Julie. Breaking news from Dancing with the Stars we've got to cover. Oh, we love a good bitter business bureau. And Julie has one straight from the pages of Vanity Fair.
Yes.
I am going to give you the history of tomato juice and air flight.
See, Liz would never approve that. That would have been rejected as a story idea, Leanne. But I say bring it on. Okay.
from the world of politics, Julie has a couple of other news stories, including North Korea.
And we have to talk about them. Okay. That's my point. Okay. We'll get to that.
And we're segueing from North Korea to Bridget Jones and why I don't ever, ever want to see her have a baby. Okay. But Julie, rip from the headlines, Ryan Lochte last night.
Well, first of all, I have to say I did not see Dancing with the Stars. And the reason I did not watch that is, number one, I don't watch it. But I particularly did not watch it last night because the former governor of Texas, Rick Perry, is now one of the contestants. And if you live in Texas and you feel positively about Texas, this really hurts, because a lot of people make fun of Texas. We have plenty of things to be ridiculed about, which is wrong. But to have their former governor who was wanted to be president of the United States,
instead of
going to jail, like most ex-governors go, right?
Yeah. Right. Or the White House. Those are the two options.
Right. Couldn't you have just done that?
Yeah.
That would be less embarrassing than to have our former governor out there doing twinkle toes. So I did not watch the show, Leanne, but I woke up to really just headline news. I mean, it seems to be the only story in the world, despite the fact that we have a serious crises around the world.
Yes.
We have a presidential election. But no, it's all about Dancing with Stars and it's all about Ryan Lochte.
Ryan Lochte was rushed on stage by two guys wearing really bogus Ryan Lochte t-shirts. As my son said, they should have Ryan Lochte's face on them, not his name. That is not effective. The t-shirts just said Lochte with the circle and the line through it. Protesting, like what? I don't know. Ryan Lochte?
How did they even get in there, Leanne? Were those shirts underneath their clothes?
Yes.
They must have been underneath their clothes. Okay.
Yes, because I have to say, I have been to a taping of Dancing with the Stars with my friend Chris Congdon many years ago.
Yes.
And, it's a pretty tight security because you are live on camera. There's also a dress code. So they tell you you have to wear this and that because they want the audience members to look nice because they're on camera so much. So they must have changed right at the end of Ryan Lochte's appearance. And then I didn't see the show. I didn't see all the show live. But I noticed when he was trending on Twitter, I thought, oh God, he's dead. What has he done now? And then as it started to emerge that protesters, I mean, really, I'm embarrassed for the protesters. Use your energy somewhere else, people, don't you think?
Really, so many worthwhile causes, just anything other than Ryan Lochte. Yeah, but the stunt meter is pretty high on this one, Leanne.
Yeah,
do you think this was just a stunt? I mean, they made this up to generate even more publicity for Ryan Lochte being.
Yes, I do. That would not surprise me if someone cooked this up either on ABC or on his PR team to sort of garner sympathy for Ryan Lochte, because that's what was happening on social media, Julie. It was like, hey, so he lied. Like, he doesn't deserve to be beat up on national TV. Like, the sympathy meter was swinging on Twitter.
I know for
Ryan Lochte.
That this morning here at Satellite Sisters, we have to defend Ryan Lochte's right to dance on Dancing with the Stars in order to rehabilitate his image because of some, drunken spree he went on. It's just the world is upside down, Leanne.
It is upside down. Well, iTunes it on. It was on freakishly early here on the West Coast. They did it live from 5 to 7 because we had something we haven't had for a while. We had a Monday night football game with a football team from Los Angeles on. The LA Rams played last night.
I just heard this, Lynn. Yeah. Again. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not a huge pro football fan. But I thought, well, I'll get into the team spirit. I'll actually turn on Monday Night Football and see the Rams play. Why not? I'll give them a go. And my husband's out of town, so it was really just me watching Monday Night Football. But I turned.
That sounds terrible, Lynn.
I know. Okay. It's sad. It's a sad, sad life. And I tuned it in, and so I only saw Olympic gymnast Lori Hernandez on, but she will win. So there's really, don't feel bad about not watching the rest of the season, because I'm just going to announce the winner here. It's her. She's going to win. I mean, she was fantastic, and of course she's fantastic. She won a gold medal like 12 minutes ago in one of the most demanding sports on the face of the planet. So in terms of body and precision and everything, she wins. Don't worry, Jill. You don't have to watch the rest.
Okay, that's good. I feel good that she will get the spinning disc ball. That seems appropriate. Phew.
Yeah.
Okay.
She will win, but I think this assures that Ryan Lochte will at least ride that sympathy vote for a couple of rounds. So, Ryan Lochte. I mean, what the heck?
Okay. I know. We can only hope that there's going to be an early out for our ex-governor there, Rick Perry. Please, just please, you know.
Here's what I didn't see him, so we can look this up afterwards. But I assume that Rick Perry dances a lot like our dad, Jim Dolan, that there's a lot of foot shuffling, but imprecise movement. Is there just shuffling around on the dance floor? With a big smile on you.
With
how
a big
Dad
smile.
Used to do that?
That was Dad's style. It worked. He was selling it, even though he had no idea how to
dance. No idea. He was selling it. It was like this weekend, I was also reminded of the expression our mother used every time she was exhausted from something or tired. She would say she was bow-legged. And I realized, oh, that's what Hillary was. She's just bow-legged. Now, finally that, knows what that
wobble.
Means.
That is exactly that best describes the wobble.
She's bow-legged. Yeah. She's totally
now,
bow-legged.
I know this is sort of the one thing I wish Hillary well. I hope she makes a speedy recovery. I've had walking pneumonia. You feel terrible. I think you have had it too.
I haven't. Liz had it. Remember? Liz had a bunch of bouts last couple of years.
Terrible. It does leave you bow-legged. The only thing is I just didn't like it that she was shaking and hugging all those people's hands. Now I know the doctors have said that she was on antibiotics, so she wasn't that contagious. But really, that part, I was not happy about that. Okay. All right. Well, Lynn, I wanted to bring to you one of our signature segments. That is the Bitter Business Bureau, where you and I in particular, although sometimes Liz does participate in this, that we just discuss how bitter we are when people, particularly young people in Silicon Valley, have these enormous success. You know,
That sums it up. Yes. Yeah,
that sums it up. So I have a Bitter Business Bureau story for you, but it has a twist. I've been tracking this story. It's been on my Bit-O-meter, if I can call it that, that I have been tracking this young CEO because she has just been all over the place. And now Vanity Fair magazine has a story about it's about the Wall Street Journal's investigation of the once lauded biotech startup called Theranos. And the CEO of Theranos is a woman named Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes.
And
once at a tech conference like 5 years ago.
Of course. Yeah. And she was dazzling, no doubt.
She was dazzling. She was dazzling. She had great hair. She just, her hair was.
Great hair. I know, Lynn.
Really nice. I know.
So Elizabeth Holmes, she's a beautiful, tall, she's blonde. She drops out of Stanford at 19 years old, Lynn, okay, to start her own blood testing company that claims that it can do all, it's the name of her device is called the Edison, and it claims that it can do all the analysis, blood analysis from a single prick of blood that you normally would have to do giving multiple vials of blood. And that if this is true, it's really going to revolutionize how we're able to track and monitor and diagnose, you know, a range of diseases, because it would be so much easier with just a single prick. Just
believe
think about
me, I went to have my blood tested last week, vials and vials of blood. She said, oh, wow, yes. You're really, this is a lot. And as soon as she said that, I started to feel bad. And the minute it was done, I had to lay down.
You had to lay down.
I was bow-legged.
Okay. Well, that's what Elizabeth Holmes, she wanted to change the world. But beyond having, you know, being smart and having this great idea and all of that, she also sort of followed in Steve Jobs' footsteps. Like, she developed this signature style where she only wore black turtlenecks and you would like this, Leanne, and a black puffy vest.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer, plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
She wore, and then she had the messy blonde hair that she wore up in a bun and big red lipstick. So that was her signature style. And sometimes, because she was working in Silicon Valley, and sometimes it's warm there, that she would make sure in the office, she kept the office temperature at 60 degrees so that she could pull off wearing the puffy vest every single day.
That's an important business detail.
That is it. And just like Steve Jobs, she only drank juices. She drank multiple juices at very specific times. So she had this whole aura around her. Okay. Now, I've been bitter about her because her company was valued at $9 billion with a B, and that her self-worth, you know, her personal wealth was valued at $4 billion. She was considered the youngest self-made female billionaire at 32 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's been everywhere, Leanne. You know, Charlie Rose has had her on Fortune, Forbes. She's been, just as you said, she's been the keynote speaker. She's been on TV shows. Okay. And she has this company, and she puts together like an incredible board of directors. Okay. She has 12 old white men on her board of directors for this company, Theranos, including Henry Kissinger. Okay. Secretary of State, George Shultz, former Senator from Georgia, Sam Nunn, William Perry, former defense secretary. Okay. So just these total stars, and to get with this young startup company. I mean, she hasn't even graduated from college. She doesn't even have a chemistry degree, Leanne. Okay. But she is out there selling it. And it is interesting to note that none of those people I just mentioned, Hank Kissinger, George Shultz, Sam Nunn, William Perry, they don't really know anything about blood testing or medical stuff. Just a little FYI.
Yeah, okay. Where's Dr. Oz on
her? No, he's not on. Okay. She did have Dr. Frist, former senator,
that guy
as well. So she had a couple, but she created this whole thing, and she was the darling of Silicon Valley. But at the same time, Steve Jobs is her idol. She adopted many of the same policies, internal policies, as Steve Jobs. That Theranos was very secretive. That she forbade employees from communicating with each other about what they were working on. For example, here at Satellite Sisters, I would not be allowed to ask, you know, hey, Leanne, well, how's the book going? Or what are you working on? You can't. They were not allowed to do that. She was a giant micromanager. She approved everything from top to bottom, and that nobody really knew what they were working on. So. So it's all seeming very good. And she had this glowing story about her in the New Yorker magazine. But there's a kind of a curmudgeon medical reporter, a guy named Cario at Wall Street Journal. And he read this article in the New Yorker magazine, and it sort of struck, something didn't sound right to him, because she was explaining how this whole Edison process works, how they take the one prick of blood, and then they're able to do the whole panel of blood tests. And her answer that is in the New Yorker article is something, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's not too far from it. So just stick with me. She said, well, it's a chemical reaction that happens when you have chemicals reacting in chemistry. I mean, she said something that that sort of sparked curiosity with this medical reporter, because it didn't seem clear to him.
Right.
Like she could not actually explain what was going on.
Like hocus pocus.
Yes, it was a little hocus pocus there. Also, yeah. There were no outside scientists that could vouch for the Theranos technology. There was no peer review process. A lot of times in science, they do peer reviews of all their medical studies. None of that was happening.
Oh.
So he started digging into this, and he thought it was really strange. And in the meantime, she is at Elizabeth Holmes, and her hair and her puffy vest and her red lips. She's out there, and she is promising a lot. Okay. She has hired as her chief scientist some super credible guy, this young guy, Ian Gibbons from Cambridge. And, he comes on board, and he's made chief scientist, and he's trying to prove that her, you know, that her Edison machine works, and he's having trouble replicating or like making it work at all. But in the this is
Isn't
not
it something- shocking that people yes. would have just handed her lots and lots of money.
$9 billion
without didn't she have right. big government contracts and stuff
she
too?
She had a big government contract yeah. with the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
And she had all kind of alliances with Walgreens. Okay.
And no one ever really saw the thing work.
No one saw the thing work. Well, and the pressure kept building. In fact, Ian Gibbons, who, you know, he kept saying to her, I guess that he couldn't do it. He couldn't, you know, it sounded like it would work in theory, but he couldn't make it work on a practical basis. And so she wanted to have a conference with this chief scientist. Well, he was so upset about about the research not working out that he actually killed himself. He committed suicide.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
oh
yes.
My gosh.
So, but in the meantime, so he commits suicide. She sort of mentions, she doesn't make any public statement about that. She is actually like, she has like sold a deal where Jennifer Lawrence, who is perfectly cast, I would say, was going to be the star of her movie about Elizabeth Holmes. And then the name of the movie was going to be Bad Blood. So they were, you know, she was just moving ahead with all this marketing and stuff. But in the meantime, the Wall Street Journal guy kept digging and digging and digging. And this is where investigative reporting, you know, you just it's
right.
It really is amazing. And he releases a series of devastating articles about Theranos that they have actually falsified all their results. That, in fact, you know, even in some of the studies they did, they weren't just taking a prick of blood. They were taking vials of blood and doing the blood analysis the old fashioned way. So now she has a heap load of trouble. So she has been, you know, she has the SEC has come down after her. The Department of Justice has come after her. The FBI is coming after her. Board members have resigned, and she has actually been banned from owning or running a medical lab for the next 2 years, which doesn't seem like that much of a problem for her. But her net worth, Leanne, here's the twist for the Better Business Bureau, has gone from $4 billion to zero.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is I'm
so
sort
at
of
least
this
she's
is,
paying a price as opposed to that woman from Wells Fargo. Who authorized all those fake accounts and everything. You know, she's leaving with $123 million.
I'm bitter about that. Okay. Yeah, we will do that. But I just wanted, this is a great article in Vanity Fair. You know, you can then go back and read the Wall Street Journal articles if you want, but it's just a fascinating sort of fall from grace, how she, you know, was in that rarefied atmosphere, the top female star in Silicon Valley. But nobody, you know, it was like the emperor's clothes, that nobody actually could see any of her work being done. So
all right, I found the link, so I'll put that at satellitesisters.com, the link to the Vanity Fair article. That looks good. All right,
yes,
Julie.
So it looks it's if you want to get bitter and then be happy, this is the article for you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Julie, I have a feel good article, and it's about tomato juice. Okay. There was an op-ed piece in the LA Times this weekend, written by a science writer and a contributing editor at Slate, Daniel Egber, and it's about why we love tomato juice in flight. Are you one of those people that orders tomato juice or Bloody Mary mix in flight,
yes.
Julie?
Yes. Why is it, Leanne? I think it has something
reasons.
To do with altitude.
It yeah. does. In 2010, Lufthansa Airlines commissioned a study about why do we sell more tomato juice in flight than beer? That was the question they wanted to know. And the study revealed that there is something that throws off your taste buds at altitude, that you feel you like the salty, sweet stuff, and you like that umami flavoring, you know, that sense of taste, that sort of savory beef flavoring. The Japanese call it umami. Like, that's the sweet spot when you're in flight. So even if you don't drink tomato juice at all on the ground, at altitude, your taste buds love tomato juice. It's also why they sell honey roasted nuts. It's the same.
It is
the same reason why those taste so fantastic in flight.
And then you get a, then they're both so salty. You get off the plane and you're all puffy and
you can't
bloated.
Put your shoes on. I know. You know you're not supposed to.
Never. And please don't let me ever, ever do that again.
Okay. Yeah. But, and then the next time you're like, you hear someone order the Bloody Mary mix, you're like, okay, I'll have the Bloody Mary mix, even though you know it's going to be wrong. All right. So that was the kind of science. This science writer looked at this and said, okay, that sort of makes sense. But is there any other reason? Like, why did they even start having tomato juice on flights?
Because it seems messy. Like, I mean, you know, if you spill it, you're in trouble, right?
So this writer looked into the history of tomato juice. They rarely started making it until the 20s, Julie, okay? But a pair of Indiana brothers repurposed a machine for making ice cream so they could turn tomato pulp into this thick, palatable beverage. And the Heinz Company and the Campbell Soup Company adapted the idea and started mass producing tomato juice. And then someone got really smart and created the Bloody Mary cocktail. But it was right as Prohibition was ending. And so once Prohibition ended, the Bloody Mary cocktail became a huge hit. And they sold over 8 million cans of tomato juice in the 1930s, just as the rise of commercial aviation started.
Uh-huh.
So with the first, you didn't actually get meals in your planes till 1927. Okay. Which I think some of the meals we eat in our planes were loaded on in 1927. So, but
I think we had a couple other concerns in 1927 about flying rather than eating. Right.
So they would start, you know, all of a sudden tomato juice is popular. They're putting it on the planes. And guess what, Julie? Guess who loved tomato juice so much when she flew?
Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart. She was a huge tomato juice fan. She said all the times in radio programs and things like this, tomato juice is my favorite working beverage and food too. That's a quote from Amelia Earhart. So they think, and then she listed the other things she brings. It was like hard-boiled eggs, raisins, chocolate, and tomato juice. That's what she had back on her flights. So he sort of points to this two thing, like, yes, your taste buds are mixed up, but also the rise of tomato juice and commercial aviation were at the same time. And they had the ultimate spokesperson, Amelia Earhart. So
yeah.
There you go. So when you order the tomato juice now, you know, it's like a sense of history. It's connecting you to Amelia. I think it's nice.
I think that is good.
There you go.
I know. All right, Leanne. That's news we can use. You can definitely, definitely tell your seatmate, you know.
Oh, yeah. When they order tomato juice, just lay that on them. Yeah. You're going to wow them. You're just going to wow them.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo,
you can
literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
Well, I have a little science story for you, Leanne, because I know you're hard at work every day using your brain. And this was a story I saw about your brain. Did you know that a busy brain can mean a hungry body? That when you are really focused on a mental activity, such as writing, which you do a lot of, Liz, Liam, many people seek food right after some really intense mental activity. Does that happen?
Well, yeah, I thought it was just, I mean, I seek food often, whether I'm...
I mean, for any reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a distraction tool. It's procrastination. It's right downstairs. It's calling to me right now. But yeah. This makes me feel better, Julie.
I think you'd like this because heavy bouts of thinking drain energy from your brain. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. You're there trying to work out the ending of your book or whatever, you know, so you're really working on it. So that is draining energy from your brain. So your brain, being as smart as it is, thinks you need more fuel because it can sense that the energy is being drained. So it sends the hunger signal to your stomach. That's what it does. So you're sitting there at your desk and you know, you've just studied for a test or, you know, you've written whatever. Now you're hungry. Okay. You're getting those hunger signals. And so, but you haven't really done any exercise, Leanne, and you really don't deserve to eat anything. It's just your brain's been doing all the activity, but you don't know that. You're just getting the hunger signals because your brain has sent them. So some researchers think that this may account for why they see a big weight gain in college students, you know, the freshman 10, freshman 15, that they're, you know, they're in this intense brain activity during the week at school. And then when they're, you know, when they take breaks, they're getting these false hunger signals and that's their ordering the pizzas.
Oh.
So they wanted to see if they could figure out is there some other alternative? Like when you're getting this hunger signal, is there something else you can do to sort of reset your brain after periods of intense focused mental activity? And so they did this test and, you know, of exercise, and they find if you do some intensive exercise right after you've done this focused mental activity, that actually reduces the urge to overeat. because you're not buying this because.
No, I totally buy it. Yes, of course. You should exercise. I mean, isn't that the answer to everything? I mean,
yes, it is.
Oh,
yes.
You know what? I could have a pizza or I could do some intense physical activity. Okay. I'm sorry. Carry on. This is interesting. You know, it's a strategy.
It's a strategy. It's because the intense exercise, that's going to raise your blood sugar and the lactate that you get from exercise. And that's going to help your exhausted brain recover and reduce the need to overeat. So, but you're right. But if you don't want to exercise, then that's it.
Okay.
Then you just have to go back to the refrigerator. But
yeah, that's the problem. I have to pass the refrigerator before I exit the house to exercise. But no, it's something to think about, Julie.
It is. It
something
is. Or
to
just,
aspire
I think
to.
It's something, I mean, just to be conscious of it. Next time you're engaged in an intense a mental activity, see if you're getting some hunger signals afterwards and tell your brain to stop it. That's what you need to do. Okay.
Sometimes I get really tired, which is unusual for me. Like if I write a very intense morning of writing, I actually lie down, which I never do. I am not a napper. So something's happening. There is a connection between hard work for me. And that only happens with fiction. It's not, you know, not that I'm not working hard right now, but I won't need to go take a nap after this. But I do fine. Like sometimes if I'm working through a particularly tough scene or, you know, been working long hours writing, I do have to lie down. So I guess that's better than eating too. But okay. Exercise is the answer. Thank you.
Okay, Lynn. I'm trying.
I know you are.
I thought of you.
I thought it's so good. It's good. It's good to be aware.
Okay, so let's take you out of your world. Let's go. I mean, and beyond the world of Ryan Lochte to what's really happening in the world. Did you happen to notice that this past week there was the fifth nuclear test in North Korea?
Did you see it? I found that very disturbing.
This was the number five. It was large enough that it created an earthquakes in South Korea that were 5.6 on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
And as an earthquake survivor like yourself, you know, that's something, right?
Yeah, that's
like,
big.
That's big test if they can create that kind of reaction. And, you know, this is something that is not new to Satellite Sisters. We've been talking about North Korea since I went on that crazy trip five years ago, where I actually went to North Korea. But what is interesting is the escalation of aggression, that the threats of war, the occasional attacks on South Korea, the heightened aggression towards the United States. You know, I really don't think we can dismiss this country anymore as just some crazy state, you know, with some crazy leaders. You know, this is now, I think they've gotten, I think they're getting a lot of people's attention with this fifth nuclear test. I know today that we actually have jet fighters that are like, you know, flying up and down the Korean coast because of this. But when you go there, when you go to North Korea, one of the things that you just almost can't believe it, but they are in a constant state of war. You know, everywhere you go, it's just propaganda. It's propaganda about the enemy, about the United States, about the, you know, this aggressive United States. It's about reunifying South Korea. It's about the aggressions from the South. And they do this to focus on the enemy. I mean, you know, it's not a crazy state. They are very deliberate in the way that they have put this together. I mean, it did sort of start, the country sort of started as a Cold War pawn, you know, between the U.S. and Russia. And Russia used North Korea to antagonize the U.S. But now that Russia is not much of a player with North Korea, now this is North Korea kind of doing this all on its own, perhaps with the help of Iran. But they do it in order to take away from the domestic issues there, which are, you know, even though they try to only show you the good stuff when you go to North Korea, there is no good stuff in North Korea, Lynn. You know, it's quite obvious the crushing poverty, the lack of food, the totalitarian government. I mean, Kim Jong-un recently just killed, you know, one of the members of his Politburo with a machine gun. Did you see that?
I know. He banned satire last week because people were making fun of him. So he's like third generation crazy, right?
Yes.
So that's the
yes.
problem. He's so far removed from the real world that I agree. I think that was very dangerous. It got my attention. I said to my husband, I'd be very nervous if I was, I don't know, Japan, China.
Yes.
Those
yes.
countries should Japan be very nervous.
Has sounded the alarm. South Korea has sounded the alarm. But it's this crazy state that he has, you know, where you go there and everything's like a throwback to the 1950s, the technology, you know, there aren't any cars there. He banned cars because his father thought that, you know, they might fall off, you know, they're too dangerous and they don't want him to ride bicycles because they thought they might fall off their bicycles. You know, you go there and it's so weird, but at the same time, that, you know, they're a surviving state. They've managed to make themselves a world player and they're going to have a nuclear bomb. Right. I mean, and that's, you know, and that's so they have to keep these conditions of like a war is imminent. And that's when you go there, you know, they feel that way. They don't. I mean, the young children did not want to make eye contact with us Westerners, because I think they've been told by their parents that we're the enemy and that we're the devils and we're going to kill them. So, you know, I think that it was so odd when we went to go see some children in a school is that they did not make contact at all. But it's because of this, you know, propaganda and this constant state of war that they're in there. But it's a serious problem. And I don't think any of the leaders have the answer to how to stop their nuclear development or these aggressive acts, you know? And, you know, it's clearly, you know, their military is well behind, you know, I mean, again, it's so backward there, you know, could the United States, if it wanted to do something aggressive militarily, could it beat North Korea? Yes, but they might, you know, they might just launch their nuclear weapons then. So then where are we? You know, I mean, that's all they have is, you know, a nuclear
right.
bomb. But they're going to have a nuclear bomb. So that is it's been on my radar.
Keep your eye on it. Just keeping your eye on it.
I know you're working on tomato juice, but I have my eyes on North Korea. So,
well, as we mentioned at the top of the show, there are a lot of serious things going on in the world. So maybe we could talk about something other than Ryan Lochte occasionally.
Yeah.
I mean, actual journalists, not us.
Yeah.
We can talk about Ryan Lochte. No one's relying on us for information, but all their
information. But we've seen so many comical things, so many inexplicably weird things coming out of this country that I think it's almost you can't reconcile with that, where indeed they have developed, you know, they could be as dangerous to the United States, certainly, you know, more dangerous to South Korea and Japan than Iran or, you know, some other terrorist state. So it's just a very, you know, they're crazy, serious, you know, terrorists there. So that's a bad situation.
One of the women I met last year who was named one of the International Women of Courage, you know, I work on that that program with the State Department. She was a barrister in Bangladesh, and she tried lots and lots of human rights cases there. And she's just been named by the UN Human Rights Council to go to North Korea to examine their human rights activities or lack thereof. And she's going to present in March of 2017 to the Human Rights Council at the UN. But so, you know, other people are keeping an eye on North Korea, too, from various points of view. But it's easy to dismiss him because he's so wacky with the hair and the banning satire. But he's got a nuclear bomb. So it's not funny. Not funny at all. All right. You know what else isn't funny? Julie Bridget Jones having a baby.
What do you mean, Lynn? What do you mean?
Okay. Have you seen the previews for the new movie coming
out? Yes. Why did they ruin the perfectly? I mean, did we need this sequel? I don't know. I can't figure out. Does that mean she broke up with Colin Firth? Or, you know, I know Dr. McDreamy's in the movie, too. I don't understand.
Here's the thing. For me, Bridget Jones's Diary is a book. You know, they made some movies from it. I didn't really enjoy the movies, mainly because they starred Renee Zellweger with a terrible accent and she never brushed her hair in like three movies. I just really objected to the idea that just because a woman was a few pounds overweight, it also meant that she stopped combing her hair. I did not understand that. But the Bridget Jones in the book is exquisite. And it came mm-hmm. to me at a time in my life in the late 90s when I was like a single girl living an imperfect Bridget Jones life. But my friends weren't quite as funny and we didn't drink as much and I didn't smoke. But I urge you, instead of going to see this movie where she has a baby, and let's face it, Bridget Jones is old now. She's my age. Okay?
Right.
She's my age. She's like 50.
Okay.
She shouldn't. Yuck. No one wants to see her have a baby. I encourage you, just go back to the original book. I have a small section of books that I keep on my desk all the time. You will have forgotten how flat out hilarious that book is, how funny the writing in that book is, and how sharp the writing in that book is, and how lovable she is as a character, and her friends are funny and sharp. And like, I want to leave her like that. You know, she doesn't need to go on. I didn't want the second book. And then there was a third Helen Fielding book, which was totally different than this movie. In the third Bridget Jones book, you know, Darcy is dead and Bridget starts dating a much younger man. And that was disappointing. Just stop. Just leave Bridget as like the imperfect 20-something girl. I want to know that she's out there. You know what I mean? The older I get, the more I need Bridget Jones. Why is she having a baby? I don't want to see that.
I know.
I mean, who would believe? No one believes that. I mean, I love Colin Firth. So even Colin Firth's baby, still, I don't want to see that, Julie. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. I will probably be drawn to the movie, even though I've always objected to the casting of and the hairstyling of Renee Zellweger in those movies.
Okay.
I feel very strongly about that.
Yeah.
Just because a woman has an extra few pounds on her doesn't mean she doesn't brush her hair. And why do they have her falling down all the time? Like, do you know a lot of grown women that fall down, Julie? I mean, flat on their faces time and time and time again. But that's, I guess, how they, you know, they want to communicate wacky. But if you read the original book and if you haven't read it in a while, just pick it up, put it on your Kindle. It is so sharp and so funny. So do that. Do that instead of seeing
the movie.
All right, Lynn,
I think that's wise advice. I mean, it is a movie that they're targeting that you would be the you're the movie
goer. I'm supposed to want to go. I'm so, because she's my hero, Bridget Jones, but I don't want to see her have a baby at 50.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That was not a good idea. It's not a good idea, the whole, to have a baby at 50.
No. I mean, the sort of who's kidding who, like, it's really hard to get pregnant at like 50. Doesn't,
yeah.
I feel like we've seen every joke in the previews. Like they've really, like, I think that's going to be it for the movie because it's pretty thin premise, you know? So yeah. Oh gosh. And it's a whole cast of fantastic actors. And I'm just going to reread the book again. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay. That's a good silent protest. Yes. I think that's.
I don't want to see her have a baby. I don't want to see that. Just a reminder, DVR set, we will be coming back with Pole, Dark and Handsome, our recap of the masterpiece theater series Pole, Dark. That starts Sunday, September 25th. And then we got Madam Secretary going really head to head with Pole, Dark the following week, October 2nd. So Julie and I, we're going to try to do both series again. We're going to see how this works.
I know. Back in training, Leanne. Do you have your blouses out? You're just ready to go?
I am ready to go. I'm ready to go. So also I want to follow up, you know, many opinions on bathrobes. Last week I mentioned I was getting my college age son a bathrobe. I thought it would be appropriate when he was sharing a bathroom with women, which he's never done in his whole life, to wear a bathrobe to and from the bathroom. And I think it was a split decision. Clearly for me, people who love bathrobes. And people who don't love bathrobes, don't love bathrobes. There, no one wrote in on the Facebook page and said, yeah, occasionally I wear a bathrobe. It was like, I love my bathrobe, or I wear a hoodie. You know, there was no middle ground. But I can tell you, Julie, that bathrobe came yesterday from the L.L. Bean company. It's a nice bathrobe. I mean, it's the flannel on the outside, the fleece on the inside. It's going to be
nice. It'll be good for those cold, damp, rainy days in the Northwest.
Yeah.
And has he tried it on yet or no?
No. You know, here's the thing. You've had boys go to college, so, you know, I can't get anything out of them. Like, first, Killing me. Like, I'm trying so hard not to bug him. It's been the longest summer because he's been off since Memorial Day weekend and the quarter system.
And it's now the middle of September.
It's the middle of September. Now it's fully the fall and I'm going nuts. And, you know, now you have no access to the information. It all goes to him and to his email account. And I keep saying things like, have you gotten any information about check-in? No. And I know that's not true, Julie. I know it's not. He just won't check his email or information. Yeah. Oh, I haven't read it yet. Really? Could you? What else are you doing? You're literally doing nothing else. Could you just click on that? Like, when should we arrive? Where should we go? Just, I know it's in there, Julie. I know.
But this is it. This is the beginning of the end. The separation. It's just, you know, he doesn't. You know, he's an adult now, and the college is treating him like an adult, and it's up to him to share. And apparently, he's not sharing.
So no. I mean, I know we're supposed to show up next Tuesday, but after that, I mean, I've searched the website for things, but I feel like there must be secret information going to his email that he's not reading.
You could try to crack into there, but I think you could.
I've tried.
That, you know, if he's, you know, he's not sharing that information, you know, maybe he doesn't want to share the tuition bill with you either. So you could take that line.
I'm trying not to go there.
You want this to be
So
that's the reality, right?
Right. So that's it. So we leave. We leave on Sunday to drive him up to the Pacific Northwest. That's why I won't be on the show next week. But because it is drop off day at some point, I guess something happens after we drop him off at college. I don't know.
Just drive by, throw the bathrobe out the window, and he can roll out of the car. You're set.
Anyway, that's it. And what do you do? You're going to family wedding.
Family wedding this weekend. This is going to be very nice. This is one of our second cousins that's getting married. We have a small representation of Dolans, but I think it's going to be a strong group. Liz is going to be there. My husband and I are going, and our oldest brother, Jim, and his wife, Mary, are going. So we will be extending our wedding wishes to the happy couple on behalf of all of the Dolans. So, made the effort, Leanne. I mean, I know you couldn't because of the conflict there with that, but I just felt like this was an important wedding to attend. I mean, that because we have such a large family, that normally when it comes to weddings, the cousins would not be invited.
Right.
I mean, it's just too many of us.
Yeah, there are.
Right. You invite one, you got to invite, you know, you're up to like 25 people. So we rarely, you know, and that's understood. I mean, you have to leave room for other wedding guests. It can't be all family, right? But when I got the invitation, I thought we made the cut this time. So this may be the only time for this generation. I mean, honestly, for this generation that we would be included. So we're making the effort to go, and I'm looking forward to it.
Great. All right. Well, safe travels. Hopefully you'll see some nice fall color there. Because it's in the Berkshires, right?
Right. We're going to the Berkshires. So that will be nice. Maybe not too much fall color, Leanne, because I'm not dressed for that. But just a touch of fall color would be fine.
All right. Anything else, Jill? Anything else before we go?
No, I think that's it, Leanne. Okay. I think that's our whole show. We did quite a bit, Leanne.
We really
Ryan Lochte, tomato juice, North Korea. Check.
I mean, you're gonna get a lot to talk about at the wedding. You're gonna run through all those topics.
I'm getting on the plane. I'm telling people about Amelia Earhart and the tomato juice. I'm gonna make some new friends, Leanne.
There you go. All right, we're the Satellite Sisters. You can always find us at satellitesisters.com if you're looking for the articles we reference. We try to put links there every time if we can. Lots of information there. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a page. You can like Satellite Sisters, or you can join our group, The Satellite Sisters. That's a group, The Satellite Sisters. All right, Julie, have a fantastic week. Safe travels.
Oh, Leanne, safe travels to you too.
Thank you. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.